Okay, act as a joke.
It's funny.
It's really funny.
Alright, ready, guys, listen to Zach.
No, you can't say that yet.
What did the ocean say to the other ocean?
Don't say it if you know.
I don't know.
Nothing, they just waved. Do you see what I did there? I'm sure you did.
You're funny, Zach. You're funny today. Oh, Sophia. There's girls in Bells that announcing Abu. And I was like, yeah! They were, I was like, they asked you to do something. And I was like, oh, sorry, I can't. And they're like, Abu. And I'm like, what? They're like, we hear you say it.
Oh, my God.
Hold on, one more.
I heard you say it, but I was like, taking the picture.
One last one.
I heard some hipsters drowned. They must have fell into the mainstream.
Wait, one last one.
The man who created knock knock jokes deserves a Nobel Prize.
Took you a minute.
Yeah, well.
Daddy.
Okay, let's get started.
Hello, guys. Welcome to Freedom Builders.
Welcome.
Oh,
thanks.
So, this week, if you guys saw on our social media, it's kind of like a movie theater theme. That's why we have the popcorn, the candy, the soda.
We even got the TV.
Yeah, we're not gonna watch movies. So the reason why our theme's like a movie theater, because we're gonna be talking about like viewing your life as though you already know the end, as though you've already seen the movie for the second time. And Des said that when she spoke, that was one of her quotes that she said, and that really struck what we really felt like that should be our main topic of today. So, Luke, do you have a verse?
Yes, I do. I found the verse this time. This is going to be the verse that we started off with, but I shared it earlier, which is awesome. So, it's Hebrews 12:2 from the King James Version. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God.
So that shows the love of Jesus and the victory that he got because of that love. The love of Jesus made him come from heaven, his throne, to come down to earth where we live and to die for us, ultimately die for us. And there's a song that we sing at the Rock, and one of the lines or one of the, they say this in the song. Jesus' love was desperate. With a desperate love to save us. That's the verse. And that means that his love was desperate. So then if you look up desperation or desperate in Google, because where else would you look it up? You know? So if you look it up, the definitions come up: loss of hope, determined, reckless, urgent, showing extreme courage, especially of actions courageously undertaken in desperation. Those are all different definitions that came up for desperation, for being desperate. We know that Jesus' love was desperate, so all those things apply to Jesus' love, which means that because Jesus' love he loved us so much that he went to go down the cross. What does that mean about the cross? It means that it was an act of desperation to save us. It really was. And when you look at the definition that Google gave to us, and you put it in the context of Jesus, he was out of hope. He was the hope. There was no other hope except for Jesus that, okay, these are my children, I have to go, and I'm going to go die for them so that they can be with me again. And so, knowing that love, and the victory that came from those actions, is how you should look at your life. So that's how we're going to open the discussion of knowing that the victory of Jesus belongs to you. So, living every day knowing the end, which in Revelation it says, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, to be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. Honor, glory, power to the Lamb forever and ever and ever. There's no ending to that. So if that is the ending of your God, How are you going to live now? Mm-hmm. You know, being, I know public school, being, even homeschool, being whatever school, you know, even if you're not schooled,
out of school.
And work.
Mother schools.
Anyway, even in daily life, living that way that, hey, my God lives on the throne forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever, never ending, ever. How am I going to act today, you know? Hey, Revelations 12:1. I thought it was 12:11, but I wrote 12:1.
It's 11.
12. Okay. And they said, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. So, they overcame, so they're overcomers, were overcomers, by the blood of the Lamb, by Jesus' sacrifice, dying on the cross, and by the word of testimony, by the word of what Jesus has done in your life. That's how you're going to overcome any obstacle that you're going through, anything that's maybe hard, because it says right here in Revelation 12:1 that, first of all, that we overcome, but this is how we overcome. So, that being said, does anyone have anything to say about overcoming, walking in victory, walking, knowing that the Lord of the world loves you and died for you? How do you walk that out in everyday life? Does anybody have anything? Even up here, does anyone have anything? Yes.
It's, when you think of it that way, you have to change the way that you think about things. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to think like my dad, you know, like owns the whole world, mm-hmm. you know, like he's the God of the universe, like that's my dad, you know, mm-hmm. you say like, oh, like what's your dad do for a living? Well, you know, he's kind of the king of the universe. And, you know, it's just a different way of thinking of things. You know, you can't live on life going the way that you were before because you're not going on the way that you were before. Yeah. You know, you're different. You're not like everybody mm-hmm. else. Not that you're better, but you kind of like play by different rules. You play by the rules that mm-hmm. God has for mm-hmm. you. Mm-hmm. And so you have to think differently in order to live differently. And to be able to walk in victory, you have to think mm-hmm. differently. Mm-hmm.
That's really good. It's very
true. Yes.
I'm not sure where it is in scripture, but it says like the things of the flesh, like, don't be about things of the flesh, but be about things of the spirit. Mm-hmm. I'm like really paraphrasing that mm-hmm. verse, but it's cool because, I mean, obviously, like I have a lot to say. Like I know why I said that and why I look at my life like that, and in just that movie context is just because, you know, God has called us to live a life, you know, above the works that Jesus did and above and beyond what he did on this earth. And when you look at what Jesus did, you're like, wow, like that's so awesome. And in order to do that though, you can't have the flesh mentality, you know, in order to heal, in order to see your visions come to pass, in order to hear from the Lord, in order to, you know, speak, like prophesy, like those are not fleshly things. Like those are not things that in this world, in this realm, right here, right now, are things that are given to us. And in order to have that, it's exactly what Thomas said. You have to change your mentality. You have to walk differently, talk differently, think differently. And I guess my question for you guys, though, now is kind of like, I feel like we all know that, and I feel like that's something that we've been taught, and it's something we're like, yeah, we need to change our mentality. But, like, oh, like going back to what Maddie said, like, what in your life do you do to walk out that victory? Like physically, mentally, like what do? You change your thinking. How do you change your thinking? Mm-hmm. Like when things come up, like you can say like, yeah, like, oh yeah, like, man, when I go through a hard time, like, I'm going to be faithful to Jesus. But every once in a while, you know, when things go bad, like you forget because you're flesh. Mm-hmm. And as you grow and you become closer, that flesh becomes less and less and less because you're feeding the spirit man. And so I guess, you know, it took me a little while to figure that out, and I'm really glad that you guys are talking about something like this now, because you guys either are going through or will be going through a time in your life when you're trying to find yourself and you're trying to figure out who you are and who God has called you to be. And I literally just had this conversation with my best friend of, you know, junior high and high school, like even like right after high school, like those are your years to figure it out. Like those are years to like really find yourself. And as like a 22-year-old, it's really cool because I feel like I've gotten like a decent hold of who I am. Like, Jesus is constantly molding me and shaping me, and I'm all about that. But like, generally, I have a really good idea of who I am. And it makes me so sad when I see, specifically, obviously I'm a girl, specifically when I see women my age who have no idea who they are. And it breaks my heart because the life that I'm living now in these seasons, I get to enjoy who I am. You know, because I get to enjoy who I am, just me and Jesus. You know, eventually it'll be me, Jesus, and someone else, but like, at this point, husband, sorry, I didn't clarify that, but like, just throwing that out there, but right now, in this time of my life, like, I'm so thankful that, like, I have this opportunity to know who I am and, like, walk it out with Jesus, and so, yeah, I guess I now I'm posing a question of, like, what can you do, or what are you doing, to really walk it out, and it can start small. Think something small, like, how can you overcome something, whether if it's, like, there's a, I don't have my Bible with me. There's a scripture, and it like says that there's already victory in Jesus. It's in the like far New Testament. I know where it is in my Bible. I just can't think of it. And that verse literally gets me through finals week. It can start as easy as that. Like, get through tests, knowing you have victory when you go to a test. Mm-hmm. Like, it starts as simple as that.
Exactly. I was talking with one of the leaders in J12 last week, and he brought up a topic that you don't typically think about Jesus this way. I mean, we know that Jesus, I mean, we don't think that Jesus really struggled with things throughout his life. I mean, yes, he was tempted, you know, 40 days, 40 nights in the wilderness. We know that much, and that, you know, Satan tempted him and that kind of stuff. But I mean, really, who really thinks that, I mean, Jesus had to, I mean, it was a fact, Jesus had to learn some things, mm-hmm. because he was very much human as much as he was God. Mm-hmm. But I mean, Jesus came down, he wore our flesh. He became one of us, and he had struggles. I'm gonna bring it up this way. I don't exactly have a passage of scripture to read, but you know, Jesus was looked at in a bunch of different ways from a bunch of different people. And to think that Jesus essentially came out of nowhere to everybody else. Like, he's all of a sudden, he's this kid, he's showing up in the temple, he's talking to these different priests, and everybody else is like, who's this guy? Like, who does this kid think he is? You know, talking to all these high up people and like having conversations and stuff and asking these questions like, who does this guy think he is? He's a carpenter's son. Mm-hmm. Like, a carpenter, in the general sense, is just a handyman. He does stuff. It's like a plumber or an electrician or somebody who makes furniture. It has a pretty broad spectrum in the general sense of the word. You know, this guy did regular labor. Like, this guy wasn't anything special. He's just a carpenter's kid to everybody else. But what Jesus knew, when he was born, knowing is that he is the son of the Most High God. Mm-hmm. And guys, you know, that's not specific to Jesus. Mm-hmm. Just because we weren't born from virgin births doesn't mean that we aren't sons and daughters of the Most High God, Amen. Jesus. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, we are going to do greater things than he did. That just like blows my mind. Jesus was the Son of God. Like, you couldn't get greater than Jesus. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, he says, look, you guys, listen up. You're going to do better things than me. He's like, look into my eyes right now, man. You are going to do, like, way greater things than I did. I mean, I just conquered death and back, but you guys are going to do better. I mean, dude, it's insane. I just get, like, so worked up about this. Because When Des said, you know, we need to look at our lives like we're watching a movie for the second time around. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it gets a little anxious. We get a little worried sometimes, mm-hmm. but we see with the end in mind. We see like, oh my gosh, like, it looks like this guy is totally going to die right now. You know, the main character, they can't just kill off the main character. But they're like, this guy is going to die. This guy's totally going to die, but I know in the back of my head that he's going to live and he's going to be fine. It's going to be great. You know, that is exactly how it is with our lives. Yeah. We go through struggles, we go through temptations, things seem like they are crashing around us and nothing is going right. And then if we allow ourselves to be completely open at that point when there seems no way out, and you know, you don't even have to wait till then. It doesn't have to be this huge struggle. It doesn't have to be all of these things surrounding you. Yes, that happens. That happens a lot. But even if it's in the little struggles that we go through every day, whether it's just going out and talking to somebody different, not even about God, when we see somebody sitting by themselves at school or at Starbucks or wherever in a public place, and we walk by and we don't even think, you know, maybe that person just needs somebody to talk to. It's in those little decisions that God can move in a huge way. And keeping the end in mind. Things might be a little bit uncomfortable for me to step out and talk to this person right now. But I know that either way, God has everything in control. That I still win. That even if this guy ridicules me and totally tells me off and thinks that I'm this stupid Jesus Bible thumper, I mean, that's totally fine because you did what God was telling you. And I'm not just preaching. Like, this is something that I practice daily at school, is when I see somebody. I'm not saying I do it all the time, because, you know, it's not something that's constantly on my mind. But, I mean, we're all the same. We all have the same struggles. But the thing is, God wants us to make His thoughts our thoughts. And his thoughts have to be an active part of our lives every day. What we think of is walking and thinking with the mindset that I have conquered everything through Jesus. Mm-hmm. That no weapon formed against me is going to prosper because I have Jesus. It's having courage in that aspect. And God reminded me right now of this time I was in prayer a long time ago. I'm going to ask you guys a question. I mean, we all do, but, like, who really struggles with courage and stepping out and, like, actually doing the things that God is telling them to do? I mean, dude, I totally do. I want you guys to know something that God told me is courage is not a feeling. Yeah. Courage is not a sensation that you get when you're hyped up and you're like, oh, man, I'm totally going to do this. You know, I feel great. I'm gonna go out and do all the things that God told me to do. Courage is not that. That's false, that's hype. Yeah, we can have those emotions when we go out and do things for God. That's awesome, because God gave us those emotions. But don't be ruled by them. When we think of courage, we typically think of somebody that's confident in themselves. We think of, like, this really, like, buff-looking person, or, like, this dude who stands high above everybody else and that just, like, has all their stuff together. God was speaking to me a while back, and he's like, courage is the exact opposite of that. Courage is stepping out regardless of how things look and regardless of how things feel in you right now. We have difficulties, we have emotions, but remember, guys, we're not ruled by those things. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I know you're on a roll right now. Yeah. But I kind of just felt like saying, is that okay? Because when you were talking about how you were, stepping out and what you do at school, well, that's kind of what I do in my school. And I'm really, really quickly, because I have to tell you guys something. I have this club. It's called the Ohana Club. And Ohana Club means family, right? You know, from Lilo and Stitch. If you guys haven't seen that movie, it's really cute, you know? But what that is that these kids come in and me and other people go in a group, and I go to Canyon High School. It's a really big campus, so you find kids, like, in the corners, sitting by themselves, don't talk to anybody. You see them just in their heads with a book, or, you know, that's really great, but they're alone. So it's a really big campus. It's out in the field. There's people everywhere just, like, in the corners and, like, not really talking to anybody, and this is, like, the group is what I have, is that what the whole point of the club is that we find these kids. Doesn't matter, like, who they are, we talk to them, and see what if they need any friends. Like, a lot of them are freshmen and sophomores that are trying to find themselves. This is high school, you know? This is where you're trying to see who you are, like, who you want to be, what you're interested, what are if you want to join a sport, and if you can't find any friends. So a lot of these freshmen and sophomores just, like, separate themselves because they feel like they're not, they can't relate to anybody, they don't have anybody to talk to. So what we do is that in this club, we talk about certain things that can help them out. We pair them up with sports that they're interested in so that they can meet other people. We have, like, places, that activities that they like to do. Sometimes on the weekends, we go in like, a group and, like, do stuff at, like, other people's houses. So one time, there was this, when you were saying, like, if they're going to, like, kind of, like, diss you or, like, they don't want to talk to you. So funny story is that actually did happen to me is that there is this boy in the corner, and he didn't want to talk to anybody, and he really was just upset. So I ended up just leaving a flyer. You know, he was just like, no, like, leave me alone. Like, your club is stupid. Like, I'm not interested. Like, don't talk to me. And this is one of the kids that it took me forever to eventually talk to him, because every time I walked by him, I was like, you know, like, I had that feeling, like, you know, like, go talk to that guy. Like, go talk to him. Go invite him to your club. Like, tell him, like, all these things that you can do. And every time I passed by him, I would get, like, guilt inside because I was like, wow, like, I'm not talking to this guy. I'm not telling him anything. I'm just, like, walking by, not saying anything, minding my own business. Until I finally got a chance that, like, this is when God was actually really speaking to me. He's like, you know what, like, you're doing something good with your club, and you're cutting him off from whatever that is. Like, you should really step up. And, like, you know that I'm with you. Know that I'm always with you, no matter what you're doing, that you won. You know, that's, like, the victory, that's what it is. And so, for me, it was, like, overwhelming because I felt, like, God's love with me. So I, like, that, like, took over all my emotions. That took over how I felt, how I was scared, how I felt, like, oh, okay, like, anytime this guy can do anything like that. So I ended up talking to him. He did end up diss me. But I did leave a flyer there. And next week, he was at my club.
Woo! That's what I'm talking about.
So,
just kind of wrap up what I was saying really quick.
No,
you were good, because that was perfect.
That was amazing.
That was perfect. That's exactly the point I was trying to get at when Amy said, you know, God was working in her, and he was like, you know, you're, like what you said, you know, you have this club and you're doing these good things, but you're cutting him off. Even if you're not trying to cut these people off, you still are. By not doing anything, you're causing people to miss out on the amazing, amazing life that we have with God. And I don't know if you guys remember from when I spoke, but I gave a scenario where where it was like me, I think I used Zach last time. So it's like I'm God and Zach is me. And Zach is like super scared and like he's sweating blood and it's really crazy. And then like Abby's the person that God wants him to talk to, but she's just like totally pissed. She's just like all frowny face and everything. Oh. And she's just like, meh. I hate life and stuff. And then Zach is like, you know, I really feel like I should talk to her. And he's really contemplating the situation. And he's just like, what do I do, God? Like, I really want to. And he's walking slowly past. And he's just like, oh my goodness. And then God's just like, whoa, 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 whoa. When, in your worry, in your doubt, if you take the first step, if you take the first step, even if you don't know what's going to happen, as long as you get out there, I am going 2 steps in front of you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And not only is God going to go before you, not only is God going to go before you when you step out like that, God will immediately start working in the heart of that person.
That's right. Yeah.
God will immediately start working in that situation that you're confronted with. Because you obeyed, because you stepped out, because things looked shaky. And you said, okay, God, in the midst of this storm right now, I'm still going to step out and look to you because I know that you have conquered everything. I dare you guys, this next week, let's come back next week, I dare you to go and talk to one person Even it can totally be about God stuff, whatever God impresses on your heart. But if you see one person standing by themselves, or pray for God to show you something, I dare you to go talk to that person. When we're done, we're going to pray over all of us, actually. We're going to go into a little bit of awesome Jesus time. We'll get into that in a little bit. But seriously, know that God is always going two steps ahead of you and working even before you actually get out there and do what he said. So, you guys are...
Well, Nate, go ahead.
Wait, who wanted to go first?
No, go ahead.
Oh, wait, David, do you want to go too? Because I saw your...
I have some...
I have a lot now. Because at first it was like one thing, and then I heard her, and then I was like, okay, I got another thing now. And then there's another thing now. So I guess I'll start off with, since this is like a movie thing, I was kind of thinking of our life being the movie and us being the main characters, but sometimes we forget about the director too, you know? And I kind of think of God as the director, you know? You know, he may demand people to do that and that and ask them to do stuff, and sometimes they won't, but he has the script in the end, and you know? So that's thing number one, I guess. But Desiree asked what you do mentally to kind of change how you act, I guess. Like, and for me, it's kind of simple. It's really just, you know, remembering God's there. And like, it seems so simple to me, but like, for an example that for me is like, when I'm at worship, like, I used to be in the back, and then like, you know, I saw the people in the front raising their hands, but I'd just be like, like, that's the best I could do. But like, for me now, I love worship because for me, worship isn't anything that I do just because people are there, but like, what God really impressed on me is, you know, it's just me and you one-on-one, you know? And it reminds me, it encouraged me when I read about David, because David, not him, but biblical David, he's still awesome, but biblical David, you know, he's like half naked, like dancing, rejoicing because of God, you know? Yeah. And if he can do that as like king status, like basically like up there, like everyone's looking at him, you know, just what more can we do in worship? And the third thing, I guess, is when you talked about taking the first step, you know, I was kind of talking to David because we were talking about how like we suck at like starting at homework. Like, we can get through it, but we can't, like, start. But, yeah, so, I don't know, but when you said the first step, it kind of reminded me how, you know, God wants us to start things, like, now. Because when I was younger, I used to be, like, looking at the adults, and they're praying and stuff, and they seem so spiritual to me. And I'm like, man, I want to be like that when I grow up to be them. But, like, you know, age isn't your limit anymore. When... You know, I didn't think that I would go through so much, but like after camp, summer camp, it's been a great adventure for me, and it's still going greater and greater till now. And she reminded me of a friend I have now at church. Her name's Eve, and the way I met her is at first, you know, it's Sunday, and I'm hanging out with David and them, and then I see this girl like right there, and she's just standing with her Bible and everything like, and stuff. So, you know, at first I'm like, okay, I'm gonna talk to her, but then you're like, no, never mind, and then you go back. But then, like, you know, I keep staring at her, and for me, like, where I came from in my life, middle school was very lonely, because, like, I love God, like, I had, like, a passion for him, but, like, I couldn't have anyone to relate to me like that, you know, there was... So, you know, you know, I decided to, that period of time, I decided to have, like, I'd rather have no friends than have, like, than to give him up. So, usually, I just walk around at lunch. It was fun, though. It wasn't bad, like, I was a loner and stuff. But, you know, so anyways, coming from there, you know, I just totally understood, like, how she might be feeling, you know. And a lot of us, like, when we want to approach someone, sometimes we think, oh, they're too cool for me, or like they don't have a good time. But like, in my perspective, if someone came up to me, I'm totally available. Like, I might not even be doing anything, but like, no one just comes up. So, you know, I decided, like, I've been learning like this year that, like, you know, sometimes you can't just like wait for someone to do it for you or wait for someone to tell you to do it. Sometimes you just do it.
But so yeah, that was a moment where I just did it, and like it was cool because she just like was a new person to church. Like her stepmom bring her there, and you know, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm totally going to encourage her and bring her up. So I bring her to the front with us in worship, you know. And but she's not cool with the center front yet, because that's where like Pastor Art is, and like that's where everyone will like look at you and stuff. But like, you know, she's cool with center right, so like whatever. That's the center front that no one likes. But anyways, yeah. So you know, she hasn't been going a lot though, because like she's been sick and her dad's been sick. But like, I really want to keep encouraging her from there, because you know, 4 weeks like into church and she's like lifting her hands already, and I'm just like, so yeah, that's all I have to say. I think my words are run out.
I have a couple things to add. So first, you were talking about facing obstacles. So we're reading Romans right now. So Romans 8:18 says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." So Paul is writing, and he's in jail. So that's pretty much a bad situation. You're in jail. But he's like, these sufferings, these things that I'm going through, they don't compare at all to the glory that we're going to have because of it. One of the things I look forward to is knowing that at the end of my life, I will get to heaven, and I will see Jesus face to face, and I just want to hear him say, "Well done," and like give him a hug, like, "Hey, welcome to heaven." So it's like, I'm looking forward to that, and that is something that really gives me hope sometimes, because yeah, you're struggling, but hey, you're going to see Jesus face to face. So we have hope in Jesus Christ, so we can look forward to that. So that's first thing. Second, you were talking about courage. So as you said, courage is not like this big buff guy. So I immediately got the image of David and Goliath. Courage is not being a Goliath. Goliath was the biggest, baddest dude at the time. He pretty much could defeat anyone. So he was like the biggest obstacle. Courage is not being Goliath. Courage is being David, the small little guy who has no fighting experience, who doesn't even have a weapon. He has a sling. He has a sling that he can throw rocks with. Courage is being like David and saying, "You know what? I'm going to go take on that giant because I have God on my side." David didn't say, "Oh, I have good shooting skills." Like, he wasn't even confident in himself. He's just like, "Oh no, I have God on my side, so nothing you do will come against me." So that's courage. Courage is taking that step of faith because you know that God's on your side.
Oh yeah. I wanted to... It's okay. You guys were talking a lot about, sorry, I just said bye. You guys were talking a lot about, like, our ability to kind of, like, see the victory when it comes to circumstances of other people. And I guess I just kind of want to shift the focus back to you and your heart and where you are. And so what I'd love for you guys to do is to kind of think of the worst thing that has happened to you. Think of something that's in the past. Maybe you are going something through right now that you're like, this is the worst thing that's ever happened. Think of something that's in the past that was the worst situation you could remember in your life. Now, I want you to think about the journey that it took from there. The struggle, the fighting, you know, the constant having to like almost like pull your way out of the darkness type thing. Think about that. And I want you to think about overcoming that and the victory that you had in that. And so you have the scenario in your head, and you have the scenario of what happened. Now, if you can go back and start it from that moment where something happened, where for me it was a car accident, but for you maybe someone passed away. Maybe you broke up with a girlfriend or boyfriend. Maybe someone betrayed you. Maybe someone broke your heart. There's so many things in our lives that can happen but what if you could go back? How would you act differently in that second time? Would you be able to see yourself already overcoming it? Would you be able to physically, like, see, maybe not physically, but mentally see it? That's what I challenge you guys to do now, the next time that the enemy throws something at you, because guys, I know it and he will. But you guys have the ability to look past that, to look past whatever the enemy's throwing at you, and dodge it and see the victory ahead. And regardless of whether you have to go through that journey still and go through that restoration and that almost battle, sometimes the battle is so worth it. It's because it's when I'm fighting that I'm like, yeah, Team Jesus. Because, like, it's that whole, like, warrior type thing that I can go on my own rant about. But sometimes when things happen to me, and sometimes when the enemy throws something at me, I always like to take the step back and think, all right, where's that victory? So think about that. The worst thing that you've ever overcome in your life, from the beginning to the end, what would you do if you could go back and already see that victory? If you could go back and replay that movie, replay that scene. Because when you watch a movie for the second time, as much as it's what Luke was saying, I'm glad he explained it because I was going to explain it, because you watch the movie the first time and you're like, oh my gosh, he's going to die, oh my gosh, you know, like you think in your head and you're getting anxious, I do, and but the second time you're like, he's not going to die, you're like, you're thinking in your head, you're seeing it, and you're seeing the battle, and you're seeing the struggle, and you're seeing that fight, but in the back of your head, you're like, no, he's going to make it. Like, no, he's going to do it. I know he's going to do it. And sure enough, he does. Because you already knew what was going to happen. That's what you need to do when you go through things. That's what you need to do when the enemy throws curveballs and all those other baseball terms that I don't know. And he chucks things at you. And sometimes he doesn't chuck a ball. He'll chuck like a train or something. Like, there are times that the enemy knows your weakest points, guys. He knows how to hit your heart so hard that you are like, oh my gosh, how did you figure that out? Like, the enemy knows my weakest points. But it's in those weakest moments that I have to get down on my knees and say, hey, God, where's my victory? Hey, God, what did you promise me? Oh, yeah, that's what you promised me. My soft spot is my dad, easily. Easily my dad. Like, that. There's, like, no shadow of a doubt. And when I'm going through something, whether if my dad snapped at me, whether if it's just a feeling, and whether if it's just words that are spoken, and they're hurtful, and they can break your heart in an instant. It's only in that moment that I can say, God, where's that victory? God, where's that peace? And instantly it can be overcome. The battle, the struggle, though sometimes you will go through it. And trust me, the battle is worth it. There are moments when you can kind of fast forward that and you get the victory. And so that's how I look at it. That's how I can look at my life. And that's how, honestly, I get through a lot of crap. You know, excuse me. But, like, honestly, let's think about it. Like, we live in a really, like, at times dark world where I'm like, oh my gosh, everyone needs Jesus right now. Like, we do. But God has called us to do two things. Love God, love others. Two things. Love God, love others. Love God, love others. There are times where I'm like, God, I can love you. I'm not sure about those other people in my life right now. I'm not going to lie. But then I have to be like, love God, love others. Yes, I'm in a leadership class at LMU right now. And we had to do this thing. And it was so hard. It's called Toss Your Values. And you had 20 pieces of paper and you wrote down everything that you valued in life. And I had, like, specific people. I had things in my life. I had my ministries. I had, like, all these things. And you had to narrow it down. And you had to physically crumple the piece of paper and throw it in the trash can. And literally throw it. No.
She better have been in the library.
Okay, there would have been a lot of people. No, there was one for, and it said, like, all you girls are my girls. Like, that's how I look at it. But, like, sorry, guys. I'm not a guy, so I can't relate to that. But sorry. But, like, there was one where it said my girls, and I was like, it was so hard. But it's interesting. interesting because when it came down to it, one of them was love all people. And it was the one that had the end was love all people and just love. Uh-huh. And I threw away love all people because without, I can't love people without love. Uh-huh. I know that sounds really stupid, but yeah, you really can.
No, that's
you can't love people without love. And at the end of the day, whatever you're going through, whether if it's a people issue, whether if it's a heart issue, 90, that's a lie. Maybe it's just me. Personally, 90% of the time it's a heart issue for me where I have to step back. But every once in a while you're like, no, 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 you just kind of stink as a human being. But I'm going to love you. And I'm going to give you grace. Like, it's in that moment that you already get to see the victory. It's in that moment where you're not questioning, what do I get? What am I going to do? How is God going to bless me? No, don't think like that. You're not going to go anywhere if you think like that. I can guarantee you that one. 22-year-old, you're not going to go anywhere. Don't focus on that. Focus on the victory. Focus on what's ahead. Whatever heart issue, already see it. You guys have overcome some more things in your life than I could possibly imagine. Now the next time the enemy throws something at you, knock it out of the ballpark. Already look at the victory. Already know what's going to happen. Cool, I'm done.
That was good. Okay, so before we start with the little groups and small groups and stuff like that, I just want to wrap this up real quick. And I was reading an Acts. I don't know what chapter it was, I don't know what verse it was, but I tweeted it. So so when I tweet things, I remember things. So this is when Jesus went up. Okay, so Jesus had ascended into heaven. He left the Holy Spirit. He sent the Holy Spirit to be with us. And his disciples were, oh my goodness, God, we love God. Like, they were so in love with God. They were so convinced that Jesus is Lord that they went out and they started making more disciples. They went out and started evangelizing, started doing amazing things of God. And when people start seeing this, there is no way to deny. Like, there is no denying that, hey, God is with these people. So the disciples started multiplying, and thousands were added. But the Pharisees hated that. They wanted so badly to stop it. They wanted so badly to kill off the Christians for me. So, but this was their answer. This was the disciples' answer to the people who hated them. They were proud to be suffering disgrace for the name of Jesus. So they said they had been counted worthy for suffering the disgrace for the name. Worthy for disgrace. That's how powerful the name of Jesus is. And something to keep in mind with the ministry that you're going through, or just with life, or with your club, or even with us in general as Freedom Builders, is for if the purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop it. You can't stop God. You can't stop God. No matter what you try, no matter how many threats you give, you can't stop him because he's already won. So as we enter this atmosphere of worship and this atmosphere of praying for one another, remember that you can't stop God because he's already won. So now I'm going to ask, to break into like groups. Hold on.
Okay, sorry. We're going to do that. We're going to do that right now. But listen to this. I was playing right now, and Maddie was talking, and God was just like, dude, you need to say this. So let me see. This is an incredible verse. I want you guys to know we have been planning a lot for Freedom Builders in the new season that we're going to be going into. And I'm going to leak a little bit. Don't worry, it's not going to be too much. But I'm going to leak a little bit of what God wants to do. And guys, it's going to be insane. Freedom Builders is going to be insane. And I truly believe that tonight, God wants to do something huge, and he's going to launch this off. This is a word from God to every one of you. It says, sing, O barren, you who have never bore a child, burst into song, shout out for joy, you who were never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband. This verse is saying, I know that things may not may not seem like they're in the right position right now. I know that things aren't in place where you think that they should be. Maybe you don't feel like God wants you to go talk to somebody. Maybe you haven't received the revelation of this victory yet. He's saying, I know that things don't look the way that they're supposed to, but right now, even when things don't look like you're going to get anything from God, shout, sing, rejoice, because I'm going to give it to you, and I'm going to take you to amazing new places that you have never been before. Guys, God is launching Freedom Builders into a place where we're going to go out, we're going to be leaders, training other leaders. We're going to go out, and seriously, guys, God is going to release some gifts at every one of you. For those of you who feel led, we're going to break into prophesying and praying over each other. But I'm going to sing while you guys play. I'm going to be praying over you while you guys pray. We're all going to be praying together. But keep this verse in mind. He says, sing. I'm going to paraphrase it a little bit so it sounds a little bit more practical. It says, sing, O barren, you who don't have right now. Burst into song. Shout for joy. Cry aloud, you who don't have right now. Because more are going to be your benefits. More are going to be your gifts. More are going to be your breakthroughs than the people that already have theirs. Shout and sing and rejoice. Because right now, guys, God is going to do something huge. He's going to unlock some things in our lives. And I believe that God wants to do it right now. So, let's do it.